Well, it's been great to have all the music going on. I thank the Lord. I was walking over here some to fellowship for that first song, and Miss Marge was playing something. Flute? I never know. There's so many different ones that are look that same way. Is that a flute? Okay, all right. See, Davina keeps me straight. She's not only some of our kids' teacher, but she's also our musical. She helps me keep in line as well. So I thank God for that. And then Brother Johnny and Miss Angela over there. And so we're expanding. So if you got some instrument that you'd like to play, you come talk to Daniel. We'd love to use your talents for the Lord. And then I love the song the choir sang. Good to hear John sing out in that first part. He scares me each time he starts, but man, it's scared in a good way. You know, sometimes you get scared in a bad way, and then other times it's scared in a good way. So praise the Lord for him starting out on that song. We're grateful to be in church. I want to preach today about a subject about the Lamb of God, and I'm so thankful that God gives us this message today, the time that we get to spend in the Word of God. You may be thinking, and we get into it, Pastor, that's awful simple, and it is. That's not my point, but I just feel like that's where the Lord would have us at this morning. And so I want you to look at John chapter 1, if you would, John 1, verse number 29. As you find your place in John 1, I did hear this story. I was thinking, somebody said, Miss Judy Martin, you back there? Miss Judy, thank you for being here. And praise the Lord for each of you being here with us. And James Martin's back there after some surgery. And as I mentioned, Brother David Harrison here. And thanking the Lord for giving him strength. And I'm just blessed. And we had others that we talked to that have been gone for a little while. And thankful that you're here. But while you find your place in John chapter 1, I did hear this story about this duck. This duck walked into a cafe one day, and he was asking, he said, I'd like to have a ham sandwich and a Coke. Kind of scared the waitress, but she brought it, and he took it and ate it, and she said, wow, I never saw a duck eating lunch like this or talking. He said, well, get used to it. I'm working at a construction site across the street over here. She said, okay. Well, sure enough, every day he'd come in, get the same thing, a ham sandwich and a Coke and ham sandwich, Coke every day, all the time. Well, it was a week or so went by, and there was this strange-looking fella came in, and she was told by him that there was a circus in town, and he was the ringmaster. So he ordered whatever he was getting that day, and she said, oh, I need to tell him about that duck. And so she went and said, well, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a duck comes in every day. He's a talking duck, and he eats a ham sandwich and a Coca-Cola every day. And he said, well, he said, next time he comes in, give him my card. And so he gave her a card that talked about the circus, said, give him my card. I'll be glad to hire him. We're always looking for different acts. So next day he came in and ordered his ham sandwich and a Coke. And she said, oh, you're never going to believe there's a circus in town. He said, okay. And she said, but no more than that, he wanted me to give you this card because he said, if you ever needed a job, you could just come down and see him. And he said, really? Okay. A circus ringmaster. He said, so a circus. He said, that is the place where animals do tricks and strange things underneath the tent. She said, yeah, exactly. And he said to her, what would he need with a drywaller? I told you he was working at a construction site. That's a carryover from last week on Father's Day. You know those dad jokes. So I said, what would he need with a drywaller? Oh, yeah, there we go. That's much, much better. Well, Amy told me not to use it, and I thought she can't be right all the time, but she's on a pretty good streak right now, so maybe we'll listen to her next time. We're looking at John chapter 1. Now, in the verses before the part we're going to read together, you realize that John is telling the people, he says, I'm not the guy. And he said in verse number 23, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And then he goes on down and he's talking to these people. And verse 25, they ask him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize you with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is. And I love verse 27, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet, basically the sandal strings. I am not worthy to unloose. But then you get down to verse number 29, and hey, the crowd must part there. I don't exactly know how it does. The Bible doesn't give explicitly how it happens. But in verse number 29, the next day, John seeth Jesus. He's been doing all this teaching, but the next day comes, and he's doing some baptizing, doing all these things. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there that day to hear John the Baptist, a great preacher in his own right, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the one that that God says leaped in the that just so much happened in his life, and here he is. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Can you get the picture there? He said, Guys, you remember I told you there's coming one after me, and I'm nothing like what he's going to be. When he gets here, the show's really going to start. When he gets here, business are really going to pick up. When he gets here, you ain't never seen anything like till he gets here. And that's what he's saying. Then remember, this is the one that I told you. The Lamb of God. This is whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And he said a mouthful there. He was so before him that he was before, he was forever that way and forever that way. He's the Son of God. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descended from heaven like a dove and abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me, God told him, he said, to baptize with water, that one that sent me, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. I want to preach for a little while about that title, and or my title coming from verse number 29, Behold the Lamb. What a statement. As Jesus comes toward that water and John the Baptist looks up at him and says, There he is. There he is. Behold the Lamb of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it tells that about Jesus, but with the we are saved with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot. And without blemish, rather, and without spot. And Isaiah, back in the Old Testament, verse 53:7 says, And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And our job this morning is to be like John the Baptist. We don't have Jesus physically walking down into the group of people where we're amongst, but we've still got the same job that he had, and that is to pronounce to everybody, Behold, the Lamb of God, there he is. There's the one. He's coming. There he is. Our job is that same. But we look at the verse that we start off in, and as we look at that verse, you see not only does he say, Behold the Lamb of God, but the next phrase, that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, we're going to get into some tough territory here, because at least in our world's eyes, because what we want to talk about is that sin. The Bible says that there's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And do you understand where we're at in our nation right now? We don't want to proclaim anything as sin. We want to proclaim things as a different choice. We want to proclaim things that's just their path. That's their truth. Can I tell you, my friend, whenever you hear that time out on, there is only one truth. If the truth is the truth is the truth. Now, you may have another version of it. You may have the way you wish it were or want it to be. But if there's a truck coming down the interstate at 70 miles an hour, your truth may say, it ain't going to hit me. If you're in its path, it's going to hit you. So your truth doesn't really make much difference to the truth. And so we understand that there's a problem in our world, and that is that most folks don't want to name anything as sin. Instead, they just rather say, well, that may be not best for you, but that's my truth. That may not be your path, but that's my path. And my friend, I'm not talking about some little peripheral issues. I'm talking about the basis of things. People are wanting to say that there's nothing wrong with how I live. But can I tell you, my friend, if you take any life that you have, any lifestyle, any life practice, anything that you're engaged in, and you line it up about what the Bible says we're supposed to do, wherever it veers off from what the Word of God says, then that's a sin. The Bible calls it falling short. So what is sin? Sin is just anything that we fall short of what God desires in our lives. God desires us to live a holy life truly given to Him. And when we trot off after everything else away from God, then we are sinning. God wants to live us to live our lives in a pure way. God wants us pure physically and pure all the other ways. And when we choose to not live that way, then it's called sin. But in our politically correct world, we don't like to admit that we are sinners. We'll call everybody else, well, that maybe them or something, but we have a hard time labeling things as sin because we don't want to offend. But you understand, as you read the Word of God, God's blatant, and as He lays things out, this is the way, walk ye in it, the Word of God says. And so what happens is, instead of us claiming that we are doing something wrong, maybe living in an adulterous relationship, maybe living in fornication, or maybe living in a homosexual relationship, or maybe doing all of these things, and instead of us coming to the position that the Bible is right and saying that's sin, what we do instead is we justify ourselves. And oftentimes we do that by comparing ourselves with the guy down the road. True, I'm not completely honest on my taxes, but I'm not like that guy that got sent to prison. True, I'm living in what you might call a bad lifestyle, but it's not as bad as that person over there. And that's why the scripture says we're not wise when we compare ourselves with ourselves, because you won't be judged against your neighbor. You, when you stand before the Lord one of these days, you won't be judged about how you did compared to some cousin of yours. But instead, the Bible says it will be looked at that holy, righteous standard, Jesus Christ. And so everything that we do that's less than that, the Bible calls falling short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, or they call it sin. And so as you and I live this life, it's not that God doesn't want to look on our sin. It's that He can't. He's holy. Scripture talks about different places where beings will cry night and day, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And so you understand that sometimes we think, well, God wouldn't be unkind to somebody. God wouldn't mind how I live, my friend. It's the very essence and nature of God, that everything about Him is holy. And so our sin cannot be looked upon in that it be by Him, because He is so holy. So when I honestly examine myself and realize who I am, I'm bringing you to this message. Behold the Lamb. I want you to see, first of all, in that verse that He is the promised one. I'll take you back to Exodus chapter 12, verse number 3. The Bible says, take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, for a lamb for a house. Now that is specifically talking about the Passover, when God told Moses that the people, they would have the death angel come through, and all that didn't have the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, on the door above there, all of the firstborn of all those houses would be killed, both Egyptian and Israelite. And so the scripture says about that, as that lamb had to be on the house, now the shedding of blood was there in order to protect that firstborn. Well, now, my friend, you fast forward to where we live now, and the scripture still says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, who verily, this is Jesus, was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Can I just take you back? If we were all Jewish descent, we might know a little bit more about this Old Testament sacrificial system. But in the Old Testament, those lambs were slain. You say, Pastor John, that's a gruesome sight. Well, this is the order that God set. Those animals, those lambs, they would take that clean and that spotless lamb, and they would take that lamb and they would slay it, and the blood would be spilt for the sins of the individuals there, for the nation. But you understand that all of those sacrifices, all that was done in that old sacrificial system, all of it was like a neon sign pointing ahead to Jesus Christ, because one day the Lamb, the spotless, the perfect, the wholesome, the all-knowing God Himself, God, the Lamb of God, was going to come. So He was the promised one. Can I tell you this? In Genesis chapter 22, you remember the story of Abraham, of course. Abraham, the famed patriarch, is told by God to take his son Isaac up to the mountain. And as He takes him up to the mountain, and He's telling them, I want you to sacrifice your son, your precious son, Isaac. In verse number 7, Isaac asks his father this, my father, behold there the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham answers back in the next verse. He says, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So you see, the first main prophecy of the fact that Jesus Christ would one day come, the Lamb of God that John spoke as he saw him coming down there in the brinks of the Jordan River. Behold, the Lamb of God. But John wasn't the first one that said it. The prophets of old had been saying it, because Isaiah back in his day said that he would come, that as a sheep before a shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And we understand that as God used Abraham to say, God the Father will provide himself a lamb. And so we see the little bit of a slat in the curtain, if you will, or the blinds as you look out and you see some neighbors coming. God gave that little peek to the Old Testament saints that one of these days, as Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. We see he's the promised one. But I want you to think about this in verse number 29 again. As we look, behold the Lamb. Again, if we were of Israel, of Jewish descent, we would understand maybe more about the sacrificial system. But when in that day and age, when the people would have been reading the Lamb of God, they would have been more understanding of the fact that the Lamb brought about the idea that this is the one that's sacrificed. We still use that phrase now. He's a sacrificial Lamb. The Lamb brings the idea that there was one reason for him to be here. 1 John says this, and he is the propitiation, the payment, the all in all for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You can't go to the wrong person this week and tell them, behold, the Lamb of God. You don't have to wonder, well, maybe he's not the Lamb to that person. Maybe he's not the Lamb to that person. He's the Lamb of God, and not for our sins only, the Bible says, but also for the sins of the whole world. He was not only the promised one, but he was the sacrificed one. He truly was, as that Christmas cantata said, or Easter, one or the other, born to die. Robert Coleman, in a book, Written in Blood, writes about a story, true story, about a daughter, or a girl rather, that had a disease who needed a blood transfusion, and one of the natural takers was her brother. And so they asked her young brother if he would be willing to donate blood for his sister, and he hesitated for a long time. His family couldn't believe it, but you'll see why in just a moment. He hesitated, but finally said, yes. So they got in there to the center to take the blood, drain, to take some blood from him to give as a transfusion to his sister because they matched. And they said that he asked the doctor there as the needle was put in and he could see the blood start to escape through the tubing. He asked the doctor when he was going to die. The reason he hesitated was he, in his young mind, thought that he couldn't live if they took that out of him, but he was willing to give his life for his sister. And my friend, you and I, we needed more than just blood to help us get healthier, because that boy didn't have to die for his sister, although thankfully he was willing. But you see that our Savior, Jesus Christ, he had to die for our sins, and it wasn't just a kind act. It wasn't something he was pulling some advantages off of himself for a little while. He literally laid down his life. No man taketh it from me. The Bible says that he gave it willingly. And so, my friend, that little girl, Mary, that got the needed blood from her brother, but you and I need a whole lot more than a blood transfusion. We need a heavenly, holy blood transfusion. We need the one that got sacrificed, my friend. And you and I, if you're in this room and you're saved, then the fireworks of God should go off in my heart and in your heart to thank God above that, behold, the Lamb did come. Amen. Praise the Lord for the sacrificed one. And this morning, before we leave, I want to remind you what it says in the end of the verse, which taketh away the sin of the world. Not only was he that promised one and the sacrifice, but he's the saving one. He is the Savior, the Redeemer, the sacrifice. He's the substitute, the propitiation. He's the ransom. He's our payment, and he's the Lamb of God. My sins were just like yours, stacked so high that I could never do anything about them. It didn't matter how many times you tried to start over. Didn't matter how many resolutions you made. Didn't matter how many people you went to apologize for all the mean things you'd said to them. Your sins were stacked up too high. You were condemned. You were hopeless, and I was helpless. But then I met Jesus, which taketh away the sin of the world. I read some time ago about a incident years ago. The S-4 sub, an American sub, was rammed by a Coast Guard ship off the coast of Massachusetts up there. As soon as that pierced it, then water started taking into that vessel and it started to sink. Every effort was made to try to get down there and save the people who were on there. None of them survived. As some of the reports gave, they died in that steel coffin, as they called it. But a report is given by one of the divers back in that day that went down. Somehow they were able to try to get some listening devices up against that. And that diver says that through Morse code, it was asked from inside that sub, this phrase, this question, is there any hope? Because, you know, when sometimes if things are bad, if you can have a little bit of hope, it brings a lot of strength to a person. Is there any hope? Of course, they couldn't answer back and wouldn't have given them any pleasure if they could, but there was no hope. All of them drowned on that day. But my friend, as you are and I are looking at people, when we go to McDonald's, when we go to Aubrey's, when we go to everywhere else, you go to work tomorrow, you go see people at Dollar General, Dollar Tree, Walmart, wherever you go, Target, you're going to all these places. People may be asking this question in a strange way, and they're also asking that same question in a way that irks you and kind of torques you off. They're asking the question, though, is there any hope? People living lifestyles that you have a hatred toward, people that act in such a way that you can't stand, really, it's just another way for them to cry out, is there any hope? My friend, we've got to be patient, we've got to be kind, and we've got to be gracious to them. But the answer still is yes, because as John the Baptist said, as Jesus coming down, you know, John had his own disciples. The Bible talks about them. He had his own posse, if you will. He had his own group that was following him. And that's why John said to those guys, says, oh, he's got to increase. I'm going to decrease. I didn't come to be the star of the show. And you and I didn't come to be the star of the show either. So we can take those people who, in whatever way they're asking, is there any hope? You and I can take the message this week. Oh, yes, there's hope. We may not say the same words that John said, but we'll say the same message. Behold, the Lamb of God. And this morning, my friend, if you are here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen to this pastor, would you please? Let me tell you that there is hope for your life, and you and I were in the same boat. I just found Jesus and he saved me. But my friend, if you're not saved this morning, the Lamb of God wants to take away your sin and save your soul. If you're here today, my friend, this is the most wonderful day that you could imagine. You say, well, what will people think if I came and said I wanted to get religious? Number one, I don't want you to get religious. I don't want you to be a Baptist. I don't want you to be a preacher. I don't want you to wear a tie. I don't want you to do any of those things. I want everybody to make sure they come to Jesus. I'm not interested in all those other things. But if you're worried about what people in this room would think, they'll be the ones that clap you on down the aisle and pat you on the back and say it's the best decision you've ever made. And they'll probably tell you about 25 years ago when they made that decision. And they'll tell you that my life has never been the same since I did it. So that we don't want you to have a religious experience. But for your objection, when you say, what will they think if I come get religion? They'll think it's the wonderful thing, most wonderful thing that's ever happened at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. So if you're here and you're not sure you're saved, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You see, your sins and my sins are what was keeping me separated from God. Do you understand for just a moment? I've got a few moments. Do you understand that if somebody's in this room today and they don't know Christ as Savior, if you, my friend, don't know the Lord as your Savior, and if you don't change that before your last breath, then this right now is the best you will can ever hope for all of eternity. This is as close to heaven as you get. Oh, Pastor, this ain't nothing like heaven. Well, exactly right. But if for an unsaved person, this right now that they're living in, this is as close to heaven as they will ever get. And my friends, if you are here, you're not saved, would you do what John the Baptist told them that day? Would you behold the Lamb of God? Would you look upon the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, believing in your heart, receiving Him, believing who He said He was, and for the majority of you in this room that are saved, there was a time when you did behold the Lamb. You looked upon Christ in your spiritual eye and you called upon Him as your Savior. Then, my friend, I'm going to deputize every one of you if you'll allow me. All of us need to be a lot of little John the Baptist out there that realize we're not the one. I can't help your problem. I can't save you. I can't fix you. And I can't tell you what to do. And I can't show you the way. And I can't do this for any of you, except to turn and say, behold, the Lamb of God. And so every one of us ought to take instruction from John. And this week, when you hear those people, they won't say, hey, is there any hope? They won't say it in those words. But in their misdirected life, a lot of people are passionate. It's just that they're passionate about something that doesn't matter. A lot of folks are passionate about something that matters in a horrible way. But they're still asking the same thing. Is there any hope? And my friend, you and I are deputized this week by the power of the Word of God to go out like John says, behold the Lamb. So nobody in this room is exempt from this message. If you're here, you're not saved, my friend, would you please come to Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Savior? I can't save you. I can't do anything to get you one inch closer to heaven. But Jesus Christ, the Bible says, wants to save everybody. That's why He says He taketh away the sin of the world. Anybody who comes to Him, the Bible says the same Lord who is rich over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Can you imagine being there that day? John's disciples, the other people who are getting baptized, the other folks that are enjoying John's ministry. And some of them, from another passage where they came to John and said, well, this other guy, he's teaching over here. Get mad at him and telling John, well, what are we going to do about that? He's invading our turf. Isn't that a strange thing? God, the Almighty, the Creator God, is going to invade the turf of a created being, John. You feel like he wants to say, he ain't invading our turf. He owned this before you and I was ever thought of. This was his turf before it was anybody else's turf. It's his turf. I must decrease. But he said that day, behold the Lamb of God. He was the promised one. Every lamb that was slain in the Old Testament was just a little precursor to the Lamb that spilled His blood on Calvary's cross. Because He was a lamb, He was the sacrificed one. Went to provide Himself that lamb. But then I thank God for then and all of these ages, He's the saving one. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Behold the Lamb. Would you pray with me? Father, bless us now. As Mr. Vinna comes and plays something, here's my invitation. If you're here and you're not sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, I know He is the Savior, but maybe you've never received Him. You've never put your trust in Him. Today, my friend, is the day. Just believe He's who He said He was, the Son of God, the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. Believing that, now in your heart, open your life to Him. Receive Him for the forgiveness of your sins, because your sins, though they're many, can be forgiven by Jesus Christ. As they play and you pray, He's that one that the Old Testament saints knew about. He's that one that those priests would have been a precursor to as they sacrificed the lambs. And then, oh my goodness, I love to ask John one of these days we get to heaven. I don't know how it's all going to work. I may not remember half these questions that we think we have. But I'd like to ask John when I get there, John, how did that feel when you got to tell that crowd there, behold? He may have got an old-fashioned tent meeting Holy Ghost fit, said, and just gave out a little war holler. Said, boys, there He is. Behold the Lamb. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. You don't know that you're saved. Maybe you're religious. Maybe you've been to church all your life. You're a member here somewhere. But you're not sure. You don't have it nailed down. My friend, behold the Lamb. Maybe you've got some other spiritual need. maybe need to be baptized, maybe you want to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Let's talk to some just a little bit ago, and we're going to do that real soon. But maybe you'd like to come and make that public, that you'd like to join, you'd like to do this, you'd like something God's burned your heart about. My friend, let's not wait. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Help us in Jesus' name, we pray. If you're able to, would you stand together with us as they continue to play? And Brother Daniel's right here in the front where he can help you. Take the Bible and show you how to be sure heaven's your home. Maybe you need to be join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Come on down. Maybe you need to be baptized. You'd like to present yourself for that. As they continue to play on through, would you come if God's moved upon your heart? If you need to be saved, would you step out? So thankful that we can tell everybody that has an issue this week, behold the Lamb. You say, Pastor, I'm already saved. Well, you can behold the Lamb. Look upon Jesus. Amen. Thank you. May look this way. Well, it's a joy to be here this morning, and I want to thank God for each of you being here, and I rejoice with Brother David and Miss Kay Harrison there, faithfully serving the Lord for all these years, and some of you have not got to meet him yet. Many of you have, and has faithfully preached in tent meetings and revivals and all kinds of different ministries, but the Lord has brought him through a lot of deep waters physically with cancer and different things, and we're blessed, though. He's always an encouragement. So they'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and so I rejoice in that. They're already a wonderful blessing and part of our church, but we'd like to make it official. We'd need a motion. Brother Marty Scroggs makes that motion. Brother Steve Mullins seconds that motion. We receive them into membership. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Amen. We're in. Praise the Lord. And what a blessing. I hope you, several of you, get by and meet them. They're right up here by Brother Daniel. And if you can get by and meet them and greet them and tell them your name, be praying for them. And we're certainly thankful that God has brought them here to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Well, on the other side back there, I'm going to ask Brother Mike Pelletier and Brother Amos Moses, if you didn't mind, to slip back to the lobby. And I'll meet you back there in just a little bit. And hopefully you'll get by to meet these good men of God. Brother Pelletier will be, both of them will be with us tonight. Brother Pelletier is Brother Ron Comfort's son-in-law. And we thank God for his father-in-law's ministry. But then Brother Pelletier has been used of the Lord for revivals and meetings, different kinds of evangelistic meetings. Thank the Lord for him as well. So what a joy to be in church this morning. Just a joy. And we have a great and wonderful heritage. I think about Preacher Lastly being over here pastor this church for so long and his wonderful blessing and our coming up on August 18th. I'd love for all of us to be here and all of us to invite many people. We may have to shift some to go to that 8:45 service just to fit everybody in, but we have a wonderful time. We got a great heritage. And I think about Miss Judy Whitson, who would be there if she could, but she's in a much better seat now than she's ever been at when she was here. And many good saints of the Lord have gone on before. But what that does is that leaves us to carry on. And I'm not going to start naming people but that aren't here. But I think Bob Edwards should be there and different. I said I wouldn't start name, but I'm not going to name some of them. But I just think about folks that have gone on before and we'll see them again. But until then, we're just going to keep on till the Lord comes and gets us. I'm thinking of Miss Larkey back there, faithful is a blessing to us, and Brother Mark, her son, their daughter, all of them, but her husband, faithfully serving in the first little infant stage of a bus ministry, and heaven's going to be a wonderful place. We get to all gather together, but let's not give up too soon. Let's keep on pronouncing to everybody we can, behold the Lamb of God. We can point people to Jesus. Let's just commit to doing that till Jesus takes us onto heaven. Let's just commit to pointing people there until we get there, shall we? Thank you. So, but Marty, would you come pray for us? And then I'm going to get back to the back with my wife. And then some of you get back here and see Brother David and Miss Kay. And we're thanking the Lord for the time to be in his house.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, what a wonderful time it's been to be gathered around your word and to hear the word taught and preached and proclaiming the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord, that you are the Lamb that died for our sins. Lord, we ask that you help us to live in that reality and help us to share it with others. Thank you for your goodness. Bring us back again, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.